Awesome. Well, Merry Christmas.
What a season. This is it, right? This is our holiday. This is the time where our nation literally is singing praise songs to Jesus. I don't think they know they're singing praise songs to Jesus as they go out in the malls and as the songs are being played, but it's going out. And I'm just praying that God would use the power of those messages to bring the reality of his son Jesus into people's hearts. Amen? So we are really excited. I know Alicia did the announcements, but we would love to see you tomorrow night at 5 p.m. for our Christmas Eve service. It's going to be awesome. You see that? Oh, it didn't do it. Oh, it kind of did it. Sorry. But we are really excited for our Christmas Eve service and just the tradition and being together celebrating the birth of Jesus. And so at 5 o'clock, we're going to start right on time. So and we're just going to have an awesome service. So plan on being here if that works with your family schedule. We would love to see you. But how many of you just love this time of year? Okay, some hands. Some of you that didn't raise your hand, I get it. You don't want to raise your hand. It's not school. But I just absolutely love this time of year. I love most everything about it. Probably one of my favorite things is some of the traditions that we do every year. The traditions, some of them that are spiritual, and then some that are just fun and plain awesome and just good memories and good things that we get to do with our kids. And what I'm enjoying, and my wife and I were talking about it, but as we're getting not younger, but as we're getting older and our kids are getting older, we love to see them starting to get excited about the traditions that we make a part of our family. And not only just the fun stuff, but also excited about some of the things that even as a church family that we've started to adopt that we are saying we want to make these a part of our church tradition. Like, I love that my kids every year go, Dad, when do we get to go do that thing in Four Corners for the church? Hometown Holidays, an event, an outreach that we do. And they are just expecting that they get to serve our community and be visible in our community for Jesus. And that excites me as a family, as a parent. I love hearing our kids say, hey, do we get to do the Christmas? Do we get to hold the candle again? Right? I think they might want to just hold fire, but that's a different story because they get to hold a candle. When do I get to play with fire again? But I love that they are anticipating celebrating Jesus with their church family. And so it's so neat to see these traditions evolve into their hearts as well. And my prayer would be that they would continue on with some of the fun ones that we've set up as parents. And so I love that. Probably my favorite tradition. And of course, you're going to, of course, you would say that. You're a pastor. My favorite tradition is setting up the nativity scene. And since you think I'm so spiritual, I am so spiritual that we have two nativity scenes in our home. And I love setting them up with our kids because every time that we start to unwrap them, we start telling the story, you know, one by one as they come out of the styrofoam. Or come out of the paper towel that we've wrapped them in so they don't get chipped. We start telling the story about, well, this is one of the kings, and this is the cow. And no, the cow probably didn't stay still for very long, but there's the cow anyways. And beginning to start to tell the story time and time again of how it happened. And I love nativity scenes. I think they are just about the coolest thing in the world. One of the things I love about them is I love the creativity that we see displayed in my brother-in-law's here this morning. Sorry, I get distracted. Wes and Ashley are here. If you haven't met them, they're incredible. He just got home about 2 months ago from a year in Afghanistan. And so it's thank you for your service. I forgot you guys were here. Woo! Everybody's home now, and that's good. Before I got distracted, but I love the artist's depiction of a nativity scene because you begin to see the creativity and how that individual person thinks the story happened. And so I've got a picture of a nativity scene for us, and this is beautiful. I showed this to my wife, and she just said, that is just amazing. That is beautiful. That is awesome. And I love to see how the author thought it could have gone down. And just to see the little detail that went into this nativity scene. And I know the ones we have are pretty amazing. But there is a difference between what we envision things to be and what actually took place. You know what I'm saying? Looking at this nativity scene, you know, have a little fun this morning with it, but I don't know how you looked after you gave birth to your children, but she's looking pretty good. She's got like her makeup on. She's clothed, right? She's just as like ready to go. You know, so looking at her, and I mean, just looks like she doesn't have a care in the world, and just, you know, there's no blood vessels broken around her eyes. You know, so she's feeling it this morning, and, you know, and then we've got the shepherd to her left. I mean, first of all, I didn't know that they had, like, you know, fitness clubs back then, but he's got some pipes, right? He looks good. I mean, when's the last time you've held a dove? You know, I don't, I mean, he's got it, he's a shepherd. You know, I've had some experience with farm animals, and that experience and my experience are two different experiences. The fact that those sheep and the donkey are just like almost posing and holding still. You know, if it were me and my animals, you would have a picture of me with my Sunday best on, running down my dirt road with a fishing net chasing my goats that have gotten out. He doesn't have a fishing net. I say that because that's happened. We are the crazy family with the goats. But the reality of what happened some 2,000 years ago and the picture that we see often don't line up. You know, the three kings, several hundred of them were searching for Jesus, and their journey was over 2 to 3 years long. And they say the shepherd probably came from about several miles away to see the star. And I think, you know, we talk about that night, and I want to bring probably a little bit of kind of a reality, because I look at this picture. I got to give one more props on the picture. I mean, have you ever seen a newborn wave? I mean, he is Jesus after all, right? So he's gifted. But I mean, he's the reality of what we have. And even I look at my life, and my reality in celebrating Christmas often doesn't look like this peaceful picture that we see. Maybe yours does. And if yours does, good for you. Ours sometimes feels a little more hectic and a little more chaotic. And I look at the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of Christmas, and I want to declare this morning that the amount of peace that we see in this picture is the type of peace that Jesus wants to fill our hearts and our lives with this Christmas season. And that Jesus didn't just come for the perfect. Can I get an amen? Because maybe you're perfect. But I'm grateful, like Pastor Ryan, that Jesus didn't come just for those who had everything in order and everything right and everything picture perfect. But Jesus came for those that are a mess, right? Jesus came for those that didn't have it all together. Jesus came for the mess. He came for the ones that need to experience peace. You know, and I don't know what your traditions are in your family, but we've been celebrating since the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, we've got it just regimented of the tree, of the decorations, of the night in Seattle, of the gingerbread. I mean, we got it going on. And, you know, there's this picture that you see if you watch TV or if you just go out and about for this Christmas season, and it paints a pretty glorious picture, doesn't it? I mean, you look at the car commercial of the guy that gets the Mercedes on Christmas morning. I mean, I've never gotten the Mercedes on Christmas morning. I'm still waiting for that. Not really. Maybe like a, you know, an old, you know, beat up pickup or something like that, but not a Mercedes. But you look at everything that the season of Christmas has to bring, and it can create this picture that everything has to go just right in order for us to experience Christmas and feel the spirit of Christmas. You know, and it's a little different when you have kids. You may go through the experience, but it doesn't create that perfect picture always. And in thinking about all this, we need to avoid the trap. Because I think there's been a lie, right? We're not going to talk too much about the enemy this morning, but there's been a lie that says Jesus came to make my life perfect. And I want to tell you this morning that he didn't come that I would just have this perfect life, but he came that my relationship with him would be perfect. So my life may not look like this ever, but my relationship that I can have through his son, Jesus Christ, can be perfect and refined, and that gives me peace. Amen? So he didn't come that my life would be perfect, but he came that our relationship with him would be perfect. And the reality is this morning, as we look at our nativity scene, that Mary did not live a perfect life. Jesus lived a perfect life. The reality is this morning, Joseph, the chosen father of Jesus, did not live a perfect life. God did not choose the characters in this story because they were perfect. Amen. God did not choose you because you were perfect. Because the reality is this morning, none of us are perfect. He didn't choose Mary because she was just put together and organized. You know, I need to pick a mom who's organized. No, she was probably a hot mess express 14 to 16-year-old young girl that didn't have her stuff in order. That's the reality this morning. But God didn't choose her because she was perfect. God chose Mary. God chose Joseph. God chose those shepherds not because they were perfect. God chose them because of one thing. And I believe that one thing is the same thing that God is looking for in each of our hearts today as we talk about the Christmas story and the Christmas season. That God is not after perfection in your life, but he's looking at one thing. And if you go back probably, four to 600 years before this story, we can see that thing that God was looking for in the hearts of Mary and Joseph. And you have to turn back to the Old Testament. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, chapter 16, and it's the story where the prophet Samuel is looking for the next king of Israel. Okay, he's going around and he's at David's house. King David, remember the guy that, you know, beat the giant? Okay, he's at the father of David's house and he's looking through Jesse's sons to find the anointed king. And he looks at David. And he says this, he says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see man as man sees him on the outward, but the Lord looks at the heart." Okay, so look at that scripture. It says, God rejected David based on his outward abilities. Meaning, when God was looking for the king, he wasn't looking at the outward as man does. And I think so many times as humans, we try to justify ourselves based on the things that we do, based on the things that we've achieved. And God says, I don't look at the outward, I look at the heart. And so I venture to believe this morning that God chose Mary, that God chose Joseph because they had a heart that would respond right to the Lord. Okay, they had a heart that would say yes to the plans and say yes to the promises that God was asking of them. It wasn't that they were perfect, super Christian, superhuman. It's that they would choose to be obedient to what God was telling them to do in that season. And it's no different today. And that's good news for many of us, that God doesn't look at us, at our outward things and the things that we've accomplished, but he looks at a heart. And if you read later after 1 Samuel in the Psalms where King David's writing and he's asking the question, who can ascend to the hill of God? Who can be in God's presence is what King David is saying. And the answer is the same thing. Those who have a clean hand and a pure heart, who do not lift up their soul to the things that are false and does not swear deceitfully.
Okay, God is after a people that will seek him and that will serve him with a pure heart, with pure desires, with pure motives. Listen, I believe this, that God's kingdom, it fits inside of people who do not have plans for their own kingdom. God chose Mary to continue with his kingdom agenda because Mary did not have her own agenda. The kingdom of God works best with people who don't have plans for their own kingdom, who do not have plans for their own agenda. I say, my prayer is, God, would I be one who can receive your kingdom because I don't have any kingdom aspiration, or I don't have any of my own agenda that I need to fulfill. That's where God's kingdom works best. You know, you look at this story and all the miracles. You know, if you read all through the Gospels, you can see the hundreds of miracles that went into this Christmas story. It's amazing. You know, and probably out of all of the miracles, my favorite miracle is not the fact that a virgin got pregnant. Right? You're like, what are you talking about? That's amazing. It is amazing. But here's what I know. God is amazing. God of the universe who created the sun, the moon, the stars, that spoke and things happened. He can do anything he wanted to do, right? Anything. So he speaks, he breathes, things happen. So if he wants to have a miraculous birth of a virgin being pregnant, he is God, and that's probably easy for him to do. That's what I think. So the miracle of Christmas for me isn't the fact that a virgin gave birth, because he could do anything. But the real miracle to me is that God, the creator of the universe, the one who holds the world in his hands, the one that can speak and cause things to happen, the greatest miracle is that that God would choose to partner and advance his kingdom through an imperfect vessel like Mary. The miracle is that God would put his kingdom in the hands of a 16 or a 14-year-old young man and young woman and said, you carry my son. You birth the Savior of the world. That's the miracle, that he would choose to partner with an imperfect humanity and say, I'm going to do this through your life. That he chose to depend on Mary and Joseph to walk in obedience. Right? That's a miracle. You know, God looked down as he was getting ready to reveal his plan to see his son Jesus be born to this, on this earth, to this world. And when he revealed himself to Mary and to Joseph and the different ones, and we're going to read some of the encounters in a little bit. That never gets old to me. I love it. But he wasn't just going to Mary and Joseph and saying, hey, I want to do this. You know, get your popcorn and get a good seat and see how it all happens. He didn't go to them and just say, hey, I want you to watch what happens. But there was an invitation to be a part of the story. And this morning in our lives, I'm grateful that God doesn't just say, hey, just watch what I can do. But he says, be a part of what I want to do in your world. Be a part of what I want to do in your family. Be a part of what I want to do in your community. Don't just witness it. Oh, look at that. Be a part. He wants to partner with you this morning. He wants to partner with me this morning. You know, there's an invitation for all of us this season and today. And the title of my message is, Will You Believe? Because I think that's the question that God is asking many of us this morning is, will you believe? Right? Will you believe, meaning, will you accept the invitation to partner with what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life? Will you be a part of that story that God is writing over your life? You know, I believe he chose Mary because she said yes, but she also continued to say yes. How many of you know there's a big difference between saying yes once and saying yes every day of your life? Right? We all know if you're married, you know that, right? It's one thing to say, I love you, regardless, when you're, you know, getting married. But, you know, a few years later when you're like, what is going on? You got to remember that, don't you? I'm not speaking from experience, maybe. maybe not. But it's not the initial yes. It's the yes every day. Because there is a difference between the dream being revealed and the dream being realized. Okay, there is a difference between the dream, God speaking what he wants to do, and the actuality of realizing those dreams that he wants to do. There is a lot that can happen in life in between those two things. And the question is, will you believe? Ask yourself that. Will I believe? Not just in Jesus, that you'd have eternal life, but will you believe right now as the miracle has not yet been revealed in your life? Will you believe? Right? Will I say yes today? Because it's one thing to have a visitation from an angel. I'm still waiting on that in my own personal spiritual life. I've never had that. But I was thinking about when Mary had the visitation from the angel. And the only thing that came to my mind was the summer camp experience. How many of you know what the summer camp experience means? Right? When I was 15 years old, I went to summer camp, got filled with God, and I was like jacked up. I mean, like excited about the things of God. And the summer camp experience means 2 weeks later, you're back to your old normal ways. You're back to your own normal self. We'll talk about a summer camp experience for Mary. I mean, you have a visitation from an angel that has a name. I mean, you would at least be serving God for like a month after that visitation. I mean, you would just be like all into it. But I wonder if 2 months later, when Mary's throwing up because of morning sickness, if she still was on that high. I mean, come on, I'm adding a little bit there, right? But come on. When she is walking to Bethlehem or riding a donkey, if you have a picture book, and those bumps are causing her stomach, I've never even experienced that, but she's in pain. Is she still? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if she is or not. But there is a difference between starting strong and continuing to believe when things are tough. I want to read the visitation she had with the angel this morning. It's in Luke chapter 1. We'll start in verse 26. I think it's important that we see this visually. It says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin who was pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." It says Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And if you know anything about when angels would visit people, I think Mary was troubled because she realized it's not every day that an angel comes and visits someone. And if she goes back through her history of times that people had encounters with angels, it was those people that God chose to do amazing, visible things through their life. And so she knew there is an angel visiting me. This shouldn't be happening to me because I'm just Mary. I'm just a teenager. I'm just a no one. But the angel said to her in verse 30, "Mary, don't be afraid." Right, easier said than done, I'm sure. "You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end. Verse 34, how will this be, she says, since I am just a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Right, so that's her experience. And I want to say this morning. How many would call that a miracle? I would call that a miracle. I want to say this about our miracles this morning is this miracle that God did was about Mary, but it wasn't for Mary. Okay, the miracle that God did had everything to do with Mary, Mary's life, Mary's body, Mary's future, Mary's everything, but it wasn't just for Mary. You hear me? Many times when we go through things, it may be about us, but it's not necessarily just for us, right? The struggles that you have in your life right now, they may be about you. They may be affecting your emotions, right? They may be affecting your family. They may be affecting your finances. But the things that you go through aren't only for you. There's a greater purpose why you're going through those things. It's not only for you. As I was thinking about this message this week, this thought came to me, and I think it's pretty powerful, but when you think about the things that you're going through in your life, how about your struggles? How about your adverse circumstances? How about the dysfunction that may exist in your work, in your life, in your marriage? Okay, you can insert the details there, but when you look at your current struggles, think about this, that your obedience to God could be the evidence to someone else's miracle. Think about that. Your obedience to what God is calling you to do could be the evidence of someone else's miracle. It could be the very thing that causes the light bulb moment to go on in your circumstance in someone else's life. Your obedience to what God is calling you to do in your life. You know, I like to read the Bible. Oh, I do, I'm a pastor. But I like to read the Bible and I like to put myself in their situation. Right? I don't know if anyone else likes to do that. Maybe that's just the way I do it. But if I'm putting myself in Mary and Joseph's shoes, I'm traveling, I'm doing my thing, and, you know, I've experienced with my wife 5 labor and deliveries. Okay, so I know a few things about how it goes. I know that, you know, it's the time to not take too many things that my wife says, like, serious, other than drive faster. I'll take that serious, but like, why aren't you doing that? I am doing it, right? I realize that emotions probably were high in Mary's life and high in Joseph's life as they're traveling. So I like to put myself in their shoes, realizing this. They probably knew the baby was coming. And they probably knew this, that there was nothing they could do to stop it. Right? They're like, it's coming soon, and I can't do a thing about it. I mean, talk about a helpless feeling. You know, to this day, it's actually really funny. My wife and I will be driving in Bellevue, which we do, and we get to the spotlight or the stoplight on 116th and Northeast 4th Avenue. The gas station's on the right. The car dealership that got burnt down's on the left. Overlake Hospital's right there. To this day, my wife's heart starts to palpitate and beat because she remembers the only time I didn't speed through a yellow light. When she is like ready to have the baby. And we had the baby like 4.5 minutes after we got out of the parking garage in Overlake. So it was like, you know, and so to this day, she remembers. And to this day, I think she's still mad at me for stopping at that light. I don't know what I was thinking. I was just Mr. Safety, I guess. That's me, Mr. Cautious. But putting myself in their shoes, imagine the stress. Imagine the worry. Imagine the, what if what if the baby just comes and we can't do anything about it? I want to say this to that thought. I'm sure they had thoughts like that. But from God's perspective, I want to say God knew all along that his son Jesus would be born in a stable. God knew all along that he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. God knew that there would be no room in the inn. And he didn't like, you know, people say, do you think the innkeeper's like, you know, his name's in the Lamb's Book of Life? I don't know. I think he was just doing his job, you know, poor guy. But God knew all along that there would be no room. God knew all along that the stable would be the place where Jesus would be born. He knew all those things. But Mary and Joseph did not. How many of you know that God doesn't always reveal the whole plan in your life? But it doesn't mean he doesn't have the whole plan for your life mapped out. Because Mary and Joseph, they didn't see the plan. They didn't know the plan. For all they knew, they thought, God, is it up to us to figure it out? How many of you have thought that before in your life? God, is this just up to me to figure out? God, we started strong. God, you led me this far. Is the rest just up to me? I'm sure they had those thoughts. But I want to encourage you this morning that God sees the whole picture. You know, if you look back at the scripture we just read about Mary's visitation, which is awesome, but there's a lot of detail in that visitation, right? There's been times God has spoken things to my life, and it's kind of like, God, I see the beginning and what you're saying. I see the ending, but there's a whole lot of room. There's a lot of gray in between. Anyone ever been there before? Where it's like, God, I don't know how this is going to work. But if you look at Mary's visitation, there's a lot of details that the angel gave her, right? When we start thinking about God's promises, we go through the details, right? The what? Well, God gave Mary the what, right? What? Mary, you're pregnant. That's what's up, Mary. You will be pregnant, and not only pregnant, but you will give birth to a son. So Mary had her what, right? God gave her the who, right? You will name him Jesus. I mean, all the guesswork's out of it for Mary. Mary, you're pregnant. It's going to be a boy, and here's the name. Don't lose any more sleep over coming up with a name. It's Jesus. He will also be called the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king just like his father. So Mary had her what? Mary had the who, and Mary even had her why. Why? Because I need a king who will rule forever. And this king's kingdom will never end. So Mary, if you look at the details, she had a ton of details. But Mary didn't have the how. Think about that. God doesn't give his people the how very often. Okay, I think of my life, there's times where God will reveal things, and God will how? And God says, will you say yes? God says, will you walk in obedience? Because there was a lot of details that God didn't give Mary. But here's what I know about the how in life. The how happens as you walk step by step in obedience to what God has called you to walk in. That's how the how comes about. As you say yes today, as you say yes tomorrow, as you say yes in 3 weeks, that is how the how comes about. You know, I wanna just take a moment. I saw this last year on the good old Facebook, and I saw it again this year, and I think it's fitting for my message this morning. So I want to show you another picture of the nativity scene this morning. Do we have that? There it is. Right, you can't see it, you know, someone, they use like, you know, I don't know what they did, but it's got that artistic effect to it. But this is how I picture the story happening in my mind of probably before everyone got there, you know, the shepherd, you know, he's still busy, you know, pumping iron in the gym or whatever he was doing. This is before the kings came. But this is, I think sometimes we look at these stories and we forget that these were actually like real people with real emotions and real fears, probably sitting there going, what in the world just happened? What in the world are we going to do tomorrow? How are we supposed to raise the Son of God? I mean, good luck. Talk about high expectations. Sitting there going, everything just changed in our lives. We don't even know what changed. We've never been parents before. I mean, I don't know if they were married by the time he was born or not. But all the questions of, you got pregnant by God. Okay, yeah, sure you did. Right, all the questions. I imagine this real story that happened to real people affecting real emotions and real circumstances. And I imagine in this moment that they had the opportunity to say yes to God. That they had the opportunity to say yes to the process. They had an opportunity to say, God has not called us to figure this out on our own, but God has been faithful this far, and he will continue to be faithful. I wonder in the process, did they ever think, why isn't God providing for us? Right? I wonder when Joseph is banging on the door of the inn, right? Probably not going, doubt he's doing that one. Probably beating down the door. I wonder if he's going, why didn't God provide a place? I just wonder. Again, I can't prove that. I can prove he was human. So, you know, if he was human, he was probably having those doubts. I'm wondering if they were thinking, has God left us to figure this out on our own? I'm wondering if they thought, did God care about this whole process or just starting strong? Just getting us to this point and then just kind of leaving it to us? Right, talk about the doubts that probably were surfacing in their life. Remember what I said earlier. It may be about you, but it's not for you. It may be about Mary and Joseph at this moment, but the miracle wasn't for them. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick up the Christmas story in verse 8. And it's probably familiar to many of you, but it says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, there it is, another suddenly moment, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. He said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. Listen, I just posed this morning in this Christmas season, maybe, just maybe, Joseph and Mary's biggest doubt, maybe their biggest fear, their biggest question around the how. Okay, the biggest thing. God, where is this baby going to be born? Their biggest doubt was the main confirmation and the main key for the miracle that happened in the shepherd's life. Her biggest question was their biggest confirmation. Think about that for a minute. Mary was not given the details of the how, but the shepherds were given the details as a sign that it was God. The sign, shepherds, is you will find a baby, and he will be in a manger. Do you think after hearing that, it all made sense for Mary and Joseph? Think about it. When those shepherds, they say, how did you know? Oh, an angel came and told us, and the angel said we'd find a baby in a manger. Do you think it all made sense in their heart? I do. the shepherd's answer and the shepherd's sign of the miracle was Mary's doubt and Mary's place of unknown. You know, I was thinking about that and thinking about maybe in my life with the things that I'm going through, maybe there's times that God asks us the question that says, will you believe? Because my obedience, my belief might be the very sign of someone else's miracle. Might be the greatest sign. Because remember, it might be about me, but it's not for me. It might have everything to do with my life. But can I trust that God is working the miracle in someone else's life? And my obedience to what God is calling me to do might be the sign that causes them to go, wow, God, you're real. Wow, God, you're true to your word. Wow, God, you did what you said you would do. You know, I wonder about my own circumstances, right? The times where I may question, God, do you care? God, have you left? Right? Has anyone else had those where you just go, God, I know you told me this, but it doesn't feel like it. And I want to encourage you this Christmas season that he is there and that he does care and that he will care about the whole process. That he hasn't just left his people to figure the rest out on his own. But that he will provide a stable where there needs to be a stable. He will provide a miracle where there needs to be a miracle. I think the question that remains in all this is, will you believe? Right? Will you say yes when you don't understand, when it doesn't make sense? Will you believe? I'm going to have the worship team come up this morning. Come on, ask yourself that question. Will I believe? Even with the things that's going on in your life right now, do you believe? Right? Do you truly believe in the process? You know, I was, of course, I couldn't just stop reading the Christmas story without reading the whole thing. But I think this Christmas season, there has to be a response. How many know there had to have been a response that Mary and Joseph came to? There had to be a response that the angels came to. You guys can just start playing. But there has to be a response. And I love the response of the shepherds because you can find it in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. And their response is this. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and all the things that they had seen that were just as they had been told. So their response was, God, wow, you're amazing. God, wow, you did it. God, you are good. God, you are faithful. And I hope this morning that that can be our response to the process. I hope this morning that could be our response when God says, just keep walking in obedience. We could say, God, you are good. God, you are faithful. God, you did what you said you would do. That's my prayer for us this morning. Come on, can we stand as we close this morning? Because remember, God is not looking for a people that have it all together. You know, if he is, he's looking at the wrong person. But God is looking for a people that would say yes and that would believe and that would walk out in obedience. Amen? Come on, let's respond and let's worship the Lord this morning. Come on, let's respond.
Faithful forever you will be. Faithful. Your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Faithful.
Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. Yes, you are God. All your promises are yes and amen.
All your.
And all your promises are yes and amen.
I'll sing faith.
Faithful you are. Are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen.
Seek faithful.
Oh, and faithful you are. Oh, and faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are. And all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen.
So probably out of everything this morning, as I this morning was having my moment yesterday, preparing and finalizing today, and it was a mess of a week, right? It was a busy week for me. Just had some adverse things happen that I just wanted to be mad about, and I wanted people to like, you know, pay for their wrong. I've been there before. You know, I wanted them to, like, you know, suffer for, you know, messing me up and my family up on my holidays and leaving me with a, you know, just in a messy situation. And the Lord said, Justin, remember what you're preaching about. Your obedience might be the key in, to someone else's miracle. Okay, God, I won't send that text. If I do send that text, I won't say what I wanted to say. But my obedience may be the key and the confirmation to someone else's miracle. And that's my prayer for us this Christmas season, Generational Hope, is that we would realize that our obedience to what God is calling us to walk in would be the key to the miracle. So, Father God, help us. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending him the way you sent him. Father, we celebrate your Son, Jesus, by saying yes. We celebrate your Son, Jesus, by saying we will believe in the promise. We celebrate your Son, Jesus, by responding in worship to a God who is faithful. Father, thank you for the miracle of your Son Jesus, for the miracle of sending him through the Virgin Mary, of changing hearts along the way. Father, I pray this season, today, tomorrow, as we celebrate Christmas with family, Father, would we be changed once again by the greatest gift that you've given mankind? Amen. Amen. Well, we are so excited to continue to celebrate again tomorrow night, 5 p.m., the 24th. It's going to be awesome and just a time to celebrate. But let's go out of here being confident that God is walking with us every step of the way. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless. Have a great day and go Seahawks, right? Come on, Hawks. Pull it out. All right. Let's go in his name today. You're released.